Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. All are precious in the sight of God. We are all precious. All of God's creatures are precious. Today we celebrate St. Francis of Assisi, one of the most adored and respected saints of the Church. And it is believed that his greatest honor was to be known as the Little Poor One of Christ. The Little Poor One of Christ. As he had renounced his wealth and devoted his life to serving the poor. So how is St. Francis remembered? And what would we say is his legacy? I believe that if we were to take a poll, that these three responses will be among our answers. His legacy of the Franciscan religious order, and many of us are aware of that order that was founded by St. Francis of Assisi. Secondly, many of us might talk about his love for nature in general and for animals in particular. And in many churches around the world today, there is a celebration where animals are blessed. But thirdly, many of us might reflect on his devotion to and his compassion for the poor. The Franciscan order, his love of nature and animals in particular, and his devotion to the poor. But St. Francis acknowledged the importance of all of God's creation and that God has a plan for all of his creatures. It is also believed that he took great delight in simple things like the rising sun and in all aspects of the natural world. So we acknowledge St. Francis's identity. And today, however, we are going to be focusing on his concern for the marginalized, the downtrodden, and the excluded, because that ties in with the gospel reading for today. The gospel narrative picks up at a point during Jesus' journey to Jerusalem as he is being tested by the Pharisees who wanted to trap him. And like many questions that are placed before Jesus, the answer, either answer might be insufficient in terms of explaining the issue. And certainly, this issue of divorce was one of those questions. So in the first encounter, Jesus is questioned about divorce. And it is clear that the Pharisees wanted to give him a hard time. Jesus responded by prohibiting divorce and subsequent remarriage. But I think that it's important to take the context into consideration, because in a society which predominantly men took the initiative in divorce, the insistence on no divorce was addressed primarily to them. In that context, women were often treated as property, and marriage and divorce were often regarded as business transactions. The Mosaic Law, which was a concession to the people, allowed divorce. However, Jesus, in his response, was reconfirming the original directive about marriage. Today, although the same disadvantages faced by women at the time of Jesus are less prevalent, there is still marginalization of many, including some women, trapped by unjust laws and systemic barriers which prevent full participation in society. But it is apparent that Jesus wanted to make the point that women should be protected from arbitrary, demeaning, and discriminatory practices that left them in a vulnerable position. We are reminded, however, that Scripture ought to be read in its specific context. So despite the fact that the interpreters of the law at that time were divided on what were legitimate grounds for divorce, the parallel text in Matthew is clear that the exception is marital unfaithfulness like adultery. Now, this is often interpreted to acknowledge divorce as a remedy when it is intended to protect the injured party in a bad situation. So it's not always a straightforward yes and no answer. Currently, the church teaches that marriage is still intended to be lifelong. And this is articulated in the marriage vows, and I quote directly from the Book of Alternative Services, to love and to cherish for the rest of our lives. Divorce, the question of divorce, and how in those days it affected those who were vulnerable and those who were marginalized in society. In the second encounter in the Gospel reading, we hear Jesus referring to the children, and he says, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Mark 10, verse 15. And we see Jesus blessing them. Jesus was criticized for spending too much time with the wrong people, including children. And he was irate at those who shoved them away. Just as there was an underlying social justice issue about the demeaning treatment of women in the context of the gospel, similarly, the children were discouraged from approaching Jesus. Now, there are those who would argue that this attitude toward children still exists today. But the point is that Jesus wanted to spend time with those who needed him most, like the children. And furthermore, he was clear that it was not necessary to have a rational understanding of all the mysteries of the faith, but rather to believe in God with childlike confidence. So he said, "Let the children come to me, do not stop them." Because he promised the kingdom of God even to the little ones. So it is evident then from the two illustrations from Scripture that salvation is available to all, including those on the margins of society, to all who simply trust and believe. Yes, my friends, the kingdom of God belongs to all. Granted, in the gospel reading, there's a tension between judgment and salvation. And if we look carefully at the narrative, there might be some inclination for judgment around not only the issue of divorce, but people's response or reaction to the little ones. But the good news is that God's saving grace brings those who are disadvantaged into a favorable and independent relationship with him. So today we ask ourselves the question, how do we live the Christian life in light of these teachings from Scripture and the traditions of the Church? How do we walk in the footsteps of St. Francis, the champion of the poor? That's a tough act to follow, isn't it? I suggest that we could get some ideas from the Gospel reading for today, where Jesus issues the invitation to all, despite our circumstances of gender, of age, of economic status, or any other attribute or condition. And the invitation is simple: to accept the offer of salvation and to act accordingly. believe that he's calling on us to exhibit simple trust as a child. And in keeping with our baptismal covenant, to strive for justice and peace among all people, and to respect the dignity of every human being. And like St. Francis, let us consider our relationship with all of God's creation. Recently, I've been exploring a bit about St. Francis, and I came across a book which I found quite interesting. And it was written by a former Church of England bishop, Dr. John Moorman, M-O-O-R-M-A-N. And in one of his books, Richest of Poor Men, The Spirituality of Francis of Assisi, he highlights the pillars of St. Francis' own life and that of the Franciscan order. And there's quite an emphasis on humility, on simplicity, and on poverty. Of course, we might have some interesting discussion about what humility, simplicity, and poverty all mean to us today. And one might argue that poverty doesn't refer necessarily to complete deprivation, but rather getting rid of some of the excesses of our lives. But this is all based on a strong foundation of prayer. Humility, simplicity, and poverty, all on a foundation of prayer. These are good examples to follow, aren't they? So the legacy of St. Francis goes well beyond the appreciation of the wonders and diversity of the animal kingdom. Nevertheless, today we acknowledge the whole of God's creation. And it was interesting that we sang the first hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King. The original text was actually written by St. Francis of Assisi himself. But finally, my friends, the teachings of St. Francis still resonate in a world with extremes of wealth and poverty and other inequalities affecting the vulnerable in society. And as we reflect on the life of St. Francis, I pray that we may be encouraged in our own Christian discipleship as we recognize the sovereignty of God over all creation. And may we accept Jesus' invitation to receive the free gift of salvation with childlike faith as we grow in our love and service to all. The God of all creation embraces all his creatures, for we are all precious in his sight. These thoughts I share with you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.